We sure do make some awfully profound statements through our singing. To just sing praise and to just pour out from our hearts the expression of our love and adoration and devotion to our God and to Jesus as our King, and to say, "You are the song that I sing." I'm not sure, in fact, I can't sing that and really make melody in my heart if I don't love Jesus. And to love Jesus is to seek to serve Him. To love Jesus is to seek as best we can to keep His commandments. To honor Him with our life. To live for Him daily. And when I fail, as all of us will, because I love Jesus, I want to be forgiven and cleansed again and made whole so I can serve Him acceptably. That's the heart we bring in praise. I trust that's the heart you have brought in the presence of God this morning. Good morning and welcome to all who are here, especially again to visitors. We have several visitors this morning. And we, as best we know how, want to say to you thank you. And we're encouraged by you being with us today. Lord, let us be together again at 5 o'clock this afternoon. We will assemble here in this place. Look forward to our time of worship today at 5. Brother Mike Benson, this being the fourth Sunday evening, he puts together a theme and we sing and we go into the Word of God to read passages and to look what those say to us and appreciate those men that participate in this from fourth Sunday to fourth Sunday, and looking forward to that time that we'll be able to be together again this afternoon. The book of Psalms, please. Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1. Thank you to Travis Starling for his selection and leadership this morning to help us to praise God as we sing and blend our voices together. Terry Ryan for taking us before the throne of God in prayer, and appreciate our brother for doing that and the thoughts and the heart that he brought in prayer as we agree with him and what he has called upon God to do and what we have thanked God for him doing. Looking forward to, as Brother Jimmy announced, February the 20th and 21st, Jonathan Banning coming. Perhaps already on our website there is something there that you can go to and share that with others. Talked a little bit with Jonathan, and Jonathan is excited about coming. Jonathan is a young preacher, preaches for the Southside Church in Pasadena, Texas. And Jonathan is going to bring lessons, three lessons that have to do with his text, really for all three, or his launching text for all three, is Proverbs chapter 4 and 23. Keep your heart with all diligence, for from it spring the issues of life. The heart of the matter is a matter of the heart. And we're going to look at that together. Jonathan's going to preach to primarily our junior high and senior high ages on that Saturday, the 20th. But he's going to preach to all ages Sunday morning, the 21st. And then go back and try to help college and career and those that are newly married and those just starting their families. He's going to preach to that audience on Sunday evening. Then we'll finish the weekend by having our devotional. Just a great way to finish those 2 days of study about the heart. And so junior high and high school will assemble in different homes on the 21st of this of February for our devotionals. Before we go to Psalm 1, listen to the wise man in Proverbs chapter 3. "My son," he writes, and he says in Proverbs 3 and verse 1, "Do not forget my law, and let your heart keep my commands, for length of days and long life and peace they will add to you." Length of days, long life, and peace. All of us want that. But if I am to have the peace, the length of days, truly that has to do with the intent and the desire of my heart to follow what God has revealed through His Word. It's interesting, in that same chapter in Proverbs 3, the writer says we are to trust in the Lord. We are not to lean on our own understanding. In all of our ways, we are to acknowledge Him. We are to let Him direct our paths. We are not to be wise in our own understanding. We are to fear the Lord. We are to seek a heart of wisdom and understanding. And so the point this morning for all of us as we begin is, does that describe you and does that describe me? Are you more interested in hearing from God and finding out what God's will is for your life and what God's wisdom is? Are you interested in what God says, or you just decided you're going to do it the way you want to do it? You're going to live how you want to live. You're going to do what you want to do. And I would remind us, in the language of Romans chapter 8, the Apostle Paul says to us, those who are walking by the Spirit, who have that relationship with God in Jesus Christ and therefore no condemnation, they are minding the things of the Spirit. They're interested in doing what the Holy Spirit of God has revealed through the Word. They're interested in living a certain kind of life. And the spiritually minded person is promised life and peace, not the carnally minded person. So are you in Psalm 1? Let's go to Psalm 1. Listen to the psalmist. Blessed is the man. Psalm 1 and verse 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in His law, the law of the Lord, he meditates. He meditates day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. This is the blessed man. Verse 4, but the ungodly are not so. They're not like that tree that's described that bears fruit and it prospers. The ungodly, he says, are not so, but they are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. The psalmist tells us here, I think, that if we will stay connected to God, and if we will stay connected to God's Word, and if we will stay connected to other godly influences, Christians, then we will have what we need when we need it spiritually. If you stay connected to God, you stay connected to God's Word, you stay connected to godly influences, and you will have what you need when you need it spiritually. So what does that mean we have to do practically? I have to separate myself from the world. I must not allow myself to be influenced by the ungodly. Notice the progression as he begins in Psalm 1 and verse 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the godly, who doesn't stand in the path of sinners, who doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful. Not walking, not standing, not sitting. He begins to walk, then he stands, and he eventually ends up sitting. And you see this progression that leads to a regression of relationship. And we've read passages like this before. Most all of us have heard before that we need to be careful, so careful as to who we are allowing, as to who I am allowing to influence me. Again, Proverbs 13 and verse 20. He who walks with wise men will be wise. That doesn't mean automatically, if you hang around with the right people, you'll just be godly, you'll just be wise. But he's speaking about the influence, the possibility of being influenced. But the companion of fools will be destroyed. Do not be conformed with this world is the language of Romans 12 and verse 12. Don't let this world, those that are in this world, that are living like the world, that passage that our brother read to us this morning, do not let this world squeeze you into its mold. Make a conscious decision daily to separate yourselves from ungodly worldly influences. Again, another passage, 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17. The language there, Paul says, therefore, and his conclusion has to do with what he had said previously in that chapter. But in verse 17 of 2 Corinthians chapter 6, therefore, come out from among them and be separate. Do not touch what is unclean thing. Do not have fellowship or participation in what is immoral, unholy, or unclean. And the promise that's made is, therefore, I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord. That promise is conditional. God says, I'll be your father, you will be my children. But you cannot continue, you must not allow yourself to be contaminated by this world. And so James says, James chapter 4 and verse 4, friendship with the world is enmity with God. Whosoever therefore makes himself, that is, wants to be, he wills himself, therefore whoever makes himself a friend of the world, he becomes an enemy of God. I want to ask you this question, all of us. Where do you go for advice? Listen, we all need it. So where do you go, or who do you go to for advice or approval? Proverbs 14 and verse 7, stay away from the foolish man. Well, why? Well, he tells us, you'll not find knowledge on his lips. You're going to go to someone who's in bankruptcy and can't even pay their bills? Are you going to go to them for financial advice? Not on your life. You're going to go to someone who's proven him or herself as a good manager or steward of their temporal material things. And we understand that in the area of money, but the same applies in other areas, most especially the spiritual that has to do with our soul. And what I'm saying about this to encourage us is some of us continue to go to all the wrong people and all the wrong sources for advice. And we wonder, and I wonder sometimes, why we've gotten ourselves in such a big mess, because we're not going to the right source or the right sources. We're trusting in our own understanding. We're trusting in the counsel or the knowledge of someone who is described by the wise man to be a fool. There's no fear and love and respect of God in this person. They're not seeking to mind the things of the Spirit. And so the psalmist says, listen, you want to live that blessed life? Then you have to separate yourself from the world. But there's something else that's essential. It's not just a separation from, but it's a devotion or a consecration to. We have to saturate ourselves in the Word of God. His delight is in the law of the Lord, verse 2, Psalm 1. And in His law He meditates day and night. He meditates, He contemplates, He calls it to mind regularly. Well, what would cause this man in Psalm 1 and verse 2 to meditate on the law of the Lord and to call to mind regularly what God has revealed? What would cause someone to do that? Because he first delights in the law of the Lord. But what would cause someone to first delight in the law of the Lord? Because he delights in the Lord. And here's the point. If I don't delight in God, I'm not going to delight in His Word. And if I don't delight in His Word, then I'm not going to be calling it to mind regularly to determine whether I'm in line with it, whether I'm allowing it to control me and influence me and guide me. So we have to saturate ourselves in Scripture. And that's ultimately not something someone else can do for you. Oh, sure, someone can help teach you. Someone can help you with understanding. But ultimately, it's your responsibility, it's my responsibility to get into the Word. I love what James says. James chapter 1 and verse 25. He who looks into, is the language in the New King James. He who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Who's the one that will be blessed? Well, James says it's the one who looks into the law of liberty with a desire to continue in it. That word looks into is an interesting word. Because what's being communicated through that language is not some casual, careless, quick kind of glance. That look into is a careful, deliberate looking. What am I trying to make? What point am I trying to make? When it comes to looking into the Word of God, I mean, what kind of search, what kind of glance, what kind of gaze, how much time do I spend in study of the Word? I need to allow the Word of God sufficient time to do its job. I remember in my school days, maybe I should tell the young people to put two fingers in the ear like you hardly ever hear a preacher tell you to do that. But I remember in some of my school days, grabbing a book 10 or 15 minutes before a test and going through it trying to cram for that test. Didn't work out well for me. There's no way I can look into that chapter like I need to in 10 or 15 minutes. And we talk about the importance of the Word of God, and that this is the only way that God communicates to us today is through His Spirit, through the Word, and that's exactly right. Then how much time am I allowing the Word of God sufficient enough time to do its job? Listen, there's power in the work, in the Word. But I've got to allow the powerful Word of God time enough to operate, to work on my heart. What I'm saying is an hour or two a week is not enough time. It's not enough time. I don't care who your preacher is. You may think wherever you go or wherever you might, we've got the best preacher. I've never heard someone preach this way, explain it this way, communicate this way. Hey, thank God, and I mean it, for those kinds of speakers who are blessed by God with a natural gift to communicate. But 1 or 2 hours a week listening to a preacher is not sufficient enough time for the Word of God to do its job. It's not. I have to be saturating myself in the Word of God. I have to be regularly making sure that I'm allowing the Word of God sufficient enough time to do its job. Have you ever gone to the doctor? And if you're a man, you let, you know, weeks and months go by before you finally say, I probably need to go have an expert check this out because something's wrong with me. And you finally go, and you've waited in the waiting room for over an hour, and you finally get back to a room, and then you wait in that room for 20 or 30 minutes, and finally the expert with a medical degree is going to come in and examine you. How would you feel if he or she looked at you and within 2 or 3 minutes said, oh, I think everything's going to be okay. I think you've got a cough. It may be cedar that's causing this. And you waited all this time and you got 2 or 3 minutes. Are you okay with that? No. You're thinking, you haven't spent enough time looking at me. You haven't spent sufficient enough time to do your job to make a proper diagnosis. I hope you see the point I'm making with regards to the Word of God. Some of us aren't spending enough time in the Word of God. And we seem to be okay with that. The psalmist wasn't. The people of God in the first century were not. We need to be saturating ourselves. I need to be saturating myself in the Word. And finally, not only separating ourselves from the world and saturating ourselves in the Word, but finally submitting ourselves to the Lord's way. Back to Psalm 1, the way of the ungodly shall perish. So we need to submit to the Lord. It's the way of righteousness that's life. It's the pathway of the righteous that leads to eternal life. The way of the ungodly shall perish. So the question for us, for me this morning, is will I prosper or will I perish? Not just in this life, but ultimately the life to come. That has everything to do with the path that you have chosen today. Whether you will prosper or perish has everything to do with the life that you have chosen to live today. The life that you are now living, could it honestly be described as a life that's pleasing to God in submission to the will of God? Check your friends. Check your companions. Consider your influences. Who are you following? Who are you running around with? Who are you allowing to influence you? How much time do you allow yourself to be in the Word of God, to be trained and taught by it, to be guided by it, to be encouraged by it, to be convicted by it, to be changed by it? Jesus asked the question in Luke 6 and verse 46 as we end this morning. Jesus questioned, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord? Why do you call me Lord, Lord?" says Jesus. "But you are not willing to do the things that I say to do." We understand this in other areas of life. I know that we do. Again, why would I call someone my doctor if I'm unwilling to trust their diagnosis and take the medicine they prescribe? Why would I call someone my teacher if I'm unwilling to go to class and listen to them and be instructed by them? Why call Jesus your Lord? Why call Jesus your Lord if you're unwilling to let Him lead you, guide you, instruct you, and you're willing to submit to Him and follow Him completely? It's a brand new year. But is it the same old you? Doesn't have to be. Have you been convicted this morning to change? If change is what's needed in your life, in any of the areas, will you be convicted to change? Because you want the life that's promised, a life of peace and joy. If you're here this morning and you're not in Christ, you have yet to be cleansed and saved of your sins by and through the blood that Jesus shed for you. Jesus died for you. God loved you enough to send Jesus, His only begotten Son, to give His life to make possible the forgiveness of your sins. You weren't born a sinner, but we sin by choice. And the only one who can save us is God. The only one who can forgive sin is God. And God has made that provision possible, the forgiveness of our sins possible, by and through the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son. Only Jesus' blood can set you free and cleanse you of your sins. And thanks be to God for His gift of the Christ. And if you're here this morning, you've yet to respond in faith to the call of the gospel. By believing in Jesus as the Christ of God, by repenting of your sins, turning from that, having your mind changed with now a desire to live for Jesus, to serve Him, to love Him, to let Him be Lord of your life. You'll repent of your sins and come confessing your faith. And then with that faith in your heart, working through obedience, you will be immersed in water. You will be baptized, Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, in order to have your sins forgiven by the blood of Jesus the Christ. It may be that you're here this morning, and having done that, you've gone back as a conscious decision of your will to serve self and sin. And you understand that sin separates one from fellowship with God. Thanks be to God. You can be reconciled. You can be forgiven. If you will humble yourself, acknowledge your sin with a desire to turn from it, if you'll truly repent, God has made you a promise of restoration, of forgiveness. And if we can help you by appealing to God through prayer this morning on your behalf, whatever your need is spiritually, won't you come to the front while together we stand and while we sing?